for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, welcome to another edition of The Warm Down today. Delighted to be joined by Chris Sutton. Thank you for joining me, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
I don't know where to start, really, on whether we start talking about your career, because it was a pretty good career, let's be honest with ourselves, or do we talk about some of your current opinions, because people think you've got crazy opinions, but when I do my research, I actually agree with most of them.
Yeah, they're balanced, aren't they? Yeah.
I think you went in a bit on Mourinho, but with hindsight,
really?
With hindsight, I think... probably fair, to be honest with you.
I think that I'm not saying I was right, but I think you know, the proof is in the pudding. I thought that he needed a chance at United, and there were United fans, and you know, there are pundits now who are saying it was never the right appointment. But I think, you know, his track record speaks for itself, or it's spoken for itself before he went to United. But clearly, the job which he did, it lost the dressing room, it lost, you know, the players, a lot of negativity. He talked about his previous record, but it's about the here and now. It wasn't good enough for United. Maybe he'll get a big job elsewhere, and good luck to him. You know, it didn't work out. It doesn't make him a bad manager. You know, he's been a top manager, and maybe he'll still go on to great things.
Did you ever deal with a manager that was, I'm not going to put words in your mouth here, but that was like a toxic one, or that had lost the dressing room to a certain extent?
A manager who had lost the dressing room, or a toxic one? Well, I fell out with a lot of my managers, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they were toxic. That means we just disagreed on the...
None that you played with that lost the whole dressing room then?
I don't think so. Not in the manner in which it seemed to have turned at United, if that's what you're getting.
Yeah,
it wasn't. You know, inevitably a manager can only pick 11 players, and you'll always get the disgruntled ones, the ones who aren't starting, the ones who are left out of the squad. I think you know, what went on at United, it did seem that the whole dressing room, and maybe this is unfair, but it seemed inside, you know, the club, there are a lot of staff who were deeply unhappy about the way things had turned.
I think that's fair. I think when you hear some of the noises coming out that, you know, Solskjaer's actually going and making an effort with the people at Carrington, from the security guards to the dinner ladies and stuff, that you think that he's actually transformed a lot around the club. How important do you think that whole holistic approach to everyone being on the same sort of page is important for a club?
I think it's important. I think in terms of Solskjaer and the job which he has done. I mean, going into the United job from Mulder, and he'd done okay. We'd done pretty well for Mulder, but I thought that it wasn't fair on him. People leveling the Cardiff City stuff at him, you know, because he took over Cardiff at a struggling time. Things didn't work out, but those things happened. But what he has done is he's come into United. He's got a smile back on the players' faces. There's a, you know, good feeling amongst the club. The style of football, albeit, you know, I still think that it will improve. But I think in terms of what he has done in a short space of time, it's absolutely amazing, and I'm pretty sure he will get the job. I mean, if they don't give him the job, I mean, it will, you know, I mean, what, it'll be carnage if they don't give him the job.
I don't know how you can't give him the job based on what he's done.
But then, you know, I'd say to you that I don't understand why, and I know that people are saying, well, wait to the end of the season. Why wait in terms of, you know, he may not get United into the top four. I mean, that's pretty feasible that may not happen. It's such a good race, but that still doesn't detract from the job which he has done and the way that he has turned things around. And United are playing better under him. The club is a happy club. So, you know, for me, it would be ridiculous. And it would be more of a risk now to appoint or go for a, you know, say a Pochettino, which,
can you
know,
imagine
he's been
in his first game?
You know, absolutely. But he was a great player, Solskjaer. But I think that he's a really good talker as well. And you know, United still have an outside chance, and I think it is an outside chance of the Champions League. But at least they have a chance.
We do have a chance, and if anything, Solskjaer knows about, you know, pulling victory out of the jaws of defeat himself. I actually think that if United wanted to be sound, is the only way I can think of to do it, is, you know, we've taken Mulder's coach off them. Their season's just about to start. Yeah. I think it would be sound of us to let them know at least he ain't coming back, so they can move on. They may well have done.
I mean, and that was...
But they've not appointed him.
Yeah, but that's probably part of the pantomime, isn't it?
I'm sure. But
they may have done. We're not in the know. Well, you may be, but I'm not.
I'm not in the know on that.
But no, I mean, it's, you know, it looks like it will happen. But it's, I just don't understand why it's going on and on and on. Just appoint him. I think he was in the season ticket advert, wasn't he? So, I mean, if that would be absolute madness, wouldn't it? To appoint someone else, and he's being appointed. It's just...
He's got to be. And my only worry is that if he's being appointed because he's more of a yes man than perhaps someone that could come in.
I don't think he's a yes man.
In terms of, like, maybe he's like, you're going to get the job, but you ain't getting any money to spend in the summer, and he's going...
I think that you're always in your strongest position as a manager when you first go in. This was an audition. I mean, in the early stages, maybe it wasn't an audition in terms of, you know, him being a caretaker, but it turned into an audition. He's passed with flying colours. Now he has the strength, and I think there have to be elements of trust. And, you know, if you're the owners of Manchester United and Ed Woodward, they must look at Ollie and think, we've got a safe pair of hands now. So, you know, but the point is about Manchester United, seconds last for United. And, you know, it's about winning trophies. So to win trophies, then surely they need to spend. I'm not saying, you know, they're going to go mega daft in terms of the spending.
But they
need to give him something. Mm. And, you know, I would expect him to... you know, to bring three or four players in over the summer. Absolutely.
I think that's actually needed. I think when you look at our business last summer, we brought in, you know, a reserve fullback, we brought in a reserve midfielder, and we brought in a third choice goalkeeper. That was never going to take United forward. It was just sort of noise and filler, really. It didn't really feel like a successful transfer summer.
No, and I think that's fair. But I mean, you know, you go back to the pre-season under Mourinho. I mean, under Mourinho, what was good at United this season, and you know, not a great deal, and the club are going backwards, and, you know, they've made the change. You need to look forwards now under Solskjaer. Back him, and you know, people say he's a young manager. I mean, you know, when is a good time to get a job at a big club? Mourinho, you know, did great things at Porto, then he got an opportunity at Chelsea, went on to great things. So you don't know unless he's given the opportunity. He's been given the opportunity. You know, he's done more than good.
Well, he broke the record. He broke Ancelotti's record for points in the first 10 games. Yeah. I think people that are trying to level at United fans that this is a sentimental appointment are plain wrong.
Well, I agree with that. And who else would they bring in? I'm sort of with you on this, in terms of they bring someone else in, and I think that would cause United more of a problem.
Absolutely. Let's touch on your career then. So you actually stopped us winning the title in 1995.
Well, that wasn't strictly true, was it?
I mean, yeah, it was.
We would have won it by further if you hadn't had the referees you can't say that the referee... Let's say referee decisions... I was being playful with referees in your pocket. Remember the one at Ewood Park? Was it Henningberg sent off penalty Cantona? We were 1-0 up and you ended up winning the game 4-2. And then the last minute at Old Trafford, Tim Sherwood headed the ball in, Alan Shearer, foul on Alan Shearer, come on!
There was also, I'm pretty sure it was that season as well. I moved around quite a bit that season where my season ticket was, and I remember Shearer running out and the ball went out about 6 yards. I didn't give anything. It stuck in my mind for 20 odd years. Not bitter about it or anything, but it happened. Saw it.
No, I mean, you know, in fairness, that time I was actually part of the Norwich City team, which
ran us very close. Actually, one of my favourite tactical teams, because I think that Norwich City team was the first time that we saw what we would now call tiki-taka in this country. Would you agree?
Do you know what? I've never looked at it like that, but no.
But you were a high line possession based football team.
We were we? I don't know. I played for them. I don't know about that. What we were is we actually finished third that season with a negative goal difference.
Wow.
And I was centre half for a large part of that season. So read into that what you will. But no, we were an adventurous team and front foot, and I think we lost to Blackburn 7-1 that season, Spurs 5-1. But we were favourites to go down that season. But we played United over the Easter period at Carrow Road, and we lost 3-1.
And we scored, I believe, in about 5 minutes, three goals, which ended the game.
I don't think there are any poor decisions from the
For those of a certain vintage, the tactical significance about that team is that Fergie played three wingers that game, and he played Cantona in what I can only really describe as a quarterback role, and he allowed Lee Sharp, Kanchelskis and Giggs just to run ahead.
Yeah.
Because Norwich played this high line, and he obviously identified getting in behind him, allowed Cantona to conduct, put the ball into the channel for these, and it was the most breathtaking display of counter-attacking football. I think that for me it's one of the defining tactical games of Fergie's reign, and I find it very, very tactically interesting game.
Yeah, and they preyed on a weak centre-half, young Norwich centre-half, but it was, I mean, it was an interesting era, and you know, I know you're United and what have you, in terms of what United, you know, so it was the start, wasn't it, and what United were building, you know, and then to go on, and I know we picked you at Blackburn for the title, but then to go on in the 90s, some of the great contests with Arsenal. I mean, the United, I've said this before, the United 99 side were the best ever team I've seen in the Premier League. And
I put 08 just above them. Just above them, because I think the competition, the 2008
really?
Side. Just because I think the competition was higher in the league at the time.
I'm not so sure that's right. And also, the Champions League success. But in terms of brand of football, style of football, scoring late goals. You'll probably come off with the stat where the 08 team scored more late goals. But, you know, that's where Fergie time came from. But to play at Old Trafford, to get any, so if you got a draw at Old Trafford, your keeper had to, had to be world class. It hit the bar, the post. You know, lucky to get away with, you know, with anything. But they were such a great team and a brand of football. And I know people talk about the City team now, and I'm a big fan of the way City play football. And I know United fans don't want to hear that, but I still think that they are behind. The City are behind the United team of the late.
As I said to you in the car before, if I could give any plaudits to this City team, it's when they slap a team, they slap a team. And I don't remember a United team
sort of within 85 minutes. United used to do it in the last 3 minutes, didn't they? Which is more
better,
exciting.
You think?
Better for the fans.
The 95 team that you won with, obviously you had a fantastic partnership with Alan Shearer. One, why did that never translate into national football? And two, do you think we're seeing partnerships come back into football a little bit?
I think there's. I really do think that there is a role for strike partnerships.
I'm a big fan of them, Matt.
I mean, ultimately, the difference between 4-4-1-1 and 4-4-2 is 10 yards. And, I used to have to drop on to the holding midfielder when the other team were in possession. So you're a five, effectively, in the midfield, and they left the best centre forward up the pitch in Shearer, quite rightly. I do think that things in football go in cycles. But I always felt that I played better when I played with a strike partner, which I did. Predominantly throughout my career, what I'm getting at is when you're playing with a single striker, then that single striker needs to be able to do everything. And in terms of hold the ball up, needs to be strong in the air, needs to link up, but needs to have that pace to get them behind. And most strikers have it all. The likes of Didier Drogba, the brilliant Premier League striker, he had every attribute which you needed to play that role. But if you look at, you dissect all the Premier League teams, a lot of strikers will have some good attributes, but they won't have absolutely everything.
So you think you can hide a little bit of a deficiency in one area Do you think it also ties up a couple of centre halves as well? Because most of the time people are going with one, you go with two, they now have to think about Dylan.
But I mean, you know, it's. I mean, you know, you talk about the part. You need to have different. Different attributes in many respects. You know, Shearer, when I played with Shearer at Blackburn, Shearer was a very powerful runner as much as, you know, as anything.
He was a dirty bastard as well, can we be honest about that? He was. Not in a negative sense, because I like
He was very good at it. He was very good at saying sorry. But he was like an ox. He was so strong, powerful runner, fearless, drive, mentally strong, but he wanted to be the main man. And I think if I had a weakness throughout my career in the fact I wanted to be the main guy, but it didn't kill me not being the main man. And Shearer, the likes of Larson, who I played with, you know, I think that when I looked at them, that they were probably a bit mentally tougher than me. And, you know, maybe people perceive me as being nastier, but I think they were nastier than me deep down.
I think Shearer definitely was.
That's why, and I know it's a contentious thing with the United fans who would have loved Shearer to
A certain vintage that tells you but that he wouldn't have. It was fantastic.
And the fact that he snubbed United twice, it hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah. I mean, I've seen him interviewed and he goes, no regrets, and you have to take him at that value.
I don't believe him.
Not really?
I think that the natural element is when you see, you know, the United European Cup win, Champions League win, I should say, you want to be part of stuff like that, don't they? Having said that, United haven't done bad with partnerships. I mean, my favourite all-time partnership in the Premier League, York and Cole. I thought some of you talk about twin striker play, link up, little overs round the corners. I mean, they were special. I mean,
their link up play was just, it came out of nowhere. Yeah. I think one of them, well, let's be honest, it was Andy Cole, was probably likely to be getting moved on. And then I can't believe who got injured out of Sheringham and Solskjaer. And it was kind of like, it was like October, I think, before he tried them together as a starting pair. And it just sort of clicked. But
York was the one I thought who would play the more withdrawn striker, really good link up. And Cole was the finisher, but at that particular time, and even subsequently, you know, you look at partnerships, I don't think anybody could touch them in terms of absolute partnerships.
It was pretty enjoyable. They had a pretty good season. Can't remember what happened to them. But Chris, I know you've got to get a train, so thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Go and check him out on Twitter, and go and check out what we've been doing as well. We've been doing a little bit of fishing, which I think you'll probably enjoy. See you in the next one.